Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Root Cause Radio. It's me and Anya, and we are so excited to finally be back consistently recording episodes for you guys.
Yes, we have some great ideas, some exciting topics, and the one today, I know I feel like we always say this, that it's near and dear to our heart, but I feel like women's specifically gynecological issues, urinary issues, like really just don't get enough attention because they're not really a comfortable topic to discuss. But we're going to go into the nitty gritties of that today.
Yeah. So you guys, today we're going to talk about UTIs. The next episode is going to be about BV and yeast infections, but we wanted to make sure, because let's be real, you can't cover all this in one episode. So we want to get as nitty gritty as possible, talk about the causes, the symptoms, the treatments. That way you guys feel as supported as possible. And I loved, somebody emailed me, and please keep this feedback going. People are emailing me saying that you guys love how in-depth these episodes are and how tangible and practical the tips are. So that's our goal, and we're going to keep that going for you guys.
Totally. We want to help you be your own health advocate so you can take this information to your practitioner and your doctor and ask them these questions and go down these rabbit holes with them and be an informed patient.
Exactly. So let's go over, Anya, because hopefully there are some women, I mean, that's who technically is going to really get a UTI most of the time. Let's go over what a UTI even is.
Yes. I mean, UTI, urinary tract infection, simply put, it's any sort of overgrowth of pathogenic or bad bacteria that occurs in the urinary tract. So most commonly it's E. coli, but there are other types of pathogens that also can cause a UTI. They're just less common and way harder to detect.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why I love looking at the GI map and testing and looking at your gut, because, and we'll talk about more of this later, but there are key species like Klebsiella or Escherichia, which would be technically E. coli, Staphylococcus or Citrobacter, that if it's in your gut, that can manifest in a UTI based infection too. So yes, bad bacteria in the urinary tract. Key thing is a UTI that is not treated can potentially lead to a kidney infection. So we're going to go over natural sources soon when it comes down to treatment, but you never want a UTI to just fester and get worse, because that can lead to a kidney infection, acute kidney infection, you know, chronic kidney disease. We don't want that happening.
Yeah. Be smart. You know, we'll talk about symptoms of a low-grade UTI and then also some symptoms that it could potentially be spreading and becoming a more dangerous infection, in which case you need to see, you need to get medical attention ASAP. It's not something that you want to mess with.
Exactly. So I'm hoping some women here have not technically had the symptoms before, but either way, biggest symptoms, or, you know, top couple symptoms that you will find with having UTI is foul smelling, cloudy urine, pain or burning when urinating, or this weird like pressure in your lower abdomen. Now, I've almost got a UTI before. I was able to kill it off with the herbals, and we'll talk about that. But for me in particular, it almost feels that there's like a little bit like a twinge, and it's kind of like somebody's slightly stabbing me like right under my abdomen. Sometimes it almost feels like it's around where the ovaries are, but that would be the location to where you'll feel that pain or pressure. And you don't have to have the foul smelling urine. You don't technically have to have the burning when urinating, but there are these symptoms that do come across. And then of course there's this increased urgency to go to the bathroom and increased frequency of going to the bathroom too.
Yeah. And you know, some people are also asymptomatic. So it's very possible you have an UTI, you don't have any of those symptoms, or you have kind of different, less obvious symptoms. So it could be something like confusion, fatigue, anxiety. I see a lot with UTI people that are just having these low-grade UTIs. Mm-hmm. Some people can also experience a little bit of blood in the urine. But, you know, signs that it could be becoming a more systemic and potentially dangerous infection, anything that's, you know, a red flag would be a fever, any sort of like serious nausea, really serious fatigue or malaise, and like, you know, that sort of like mental confusion are all warning signs that it's time to get medical attention.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. And one thing that I see too is some women think that, oh my gosh, is this a potential sign that I'm pregnant because they're a little bit nauseous? And in fact, sometimes that actually can be a UTI infection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, you know, is why, again, like if you think that maybe you're pregnant, take pregnancy test and that's ruled yes. out, then, you know, it could be something else.
So let's talk about the causes of a UTI, Anya. Number one, we know what this is, so I'll let you go through it.
Yeah. So, I mean, sexual activity is definitely one of the most common risk factors with developing UTIs, and that could be any sort of sexual activity. So a lot of women think that it's only penetrative or sex or intercourse, but actually oral sex or even masturbation can also increase risk. Because really what it's doing is it's moving that bacteria around, and it can cause it to spread to the bladder region. So, you know, just a heads up, any sort of sexual activity can increase your risk. And kind of, you know, going hand in hand, and that is that any sort of products that disrupt the vaginal pH also can lead to a UTI, and those are commonly used with sexual activity. So you could think of spermicides, and that could also be condoms that contain spermicides as well, or cleaning, like douching or using any sort of vaginal washes, that interfere with your pH. There are so many reasons why you shouldn't do that to begin with. But, you know, your vagina is self-cleaning, and it needs to have a certain level of acidity in order to ward off some of these pathogenic microbes. And as soon as that pH is disrupted or that acidity is decreased, it increases the risk of those harmful bacteria to grow.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you're bringing that up. Some people think that their vagina needs to smell like flowers. No. It definitely does not need to. You want to have a good amount of acidity there. Another mm-hmm. thing that a lot of women deal with would be low estrogen that can cause potential increased risk of UTIs. And that's because estrogen is very helpful for maintaining that lining in your vagina. And if it becomes too thin, you can actually have an increased susceptibility to UTIs. So that's why, like, a lot of menopausal women, they do get more UTIs. And the fun thing is, then, of course, there's, you know, irritation, there's redness, there's pain in the sex with a low estrogen as well. But you, taking hormonal therapies, especially vaginal estrogen, if you're menopausal, can help prevent this. So unfortunately, if you're menopausal, if you have low estrogen, you do have an increased susceptibility, but there are things that you could do to combat it. And if you have low estrogen and you're not perimenopausal and you're not menopausal, definitely get to the root causes of why your estrogen is low, which you can go back to our other podcasts to focus on. Mm-hmm. And then one thing that I have definitely seen big time with other people, especially if you are like in the summertime, UTIs can be caused by like sweaty, wet underwear or even like leggings or shorts, staying in your bathing suit for too long of a time. Those are things that a lot of women don't think about that can increase your risk of a UTI.
Mm-hmm. I really like just recommending to wear cotton underwear throughout the day, especially when you're working out. And after you do anything sweaty, whether that's working out or sauna, I like the brand Good Clean Love for pH-friendly wipes that you could just quickly use. So you could use that and then change your underwear right after to keep everything nice and fresh. Another really common cause, and this is a huge cause and a huge bucket, is any sort of gut infection. So just like we are all very well acquainted with the fact that we have a GI microbiome, we also have a microbiome in our vagina. And everything is kind of just like bunched up there in that sort of pelvic region. And it's very easy for bacteria or other sort of infections, whether that's parasites, candida, to spread from one area to the other. So if you have any sort of infection or overgrowth going on there, it's going to significantly increase your risk of a UTI. That's why it's really common for people to get UTIs after something like food poisoning, because, again, of that sort of disruption in the microbiome and the spread of different pathogens.
Yeah, it's really scary how that can happen. And I've also seen, I mean, antibiotics can be used to treat UTIs too, but also with taking them, that can allow there to be that pH change and allow that bad bacteria to proliferate if you don't go on like a post-antibiotic protocol. And so being on an antibiotic even in itself could potentially increase your risk.
I know it's a double-edged sword because you're trying to treat the UTI mm-hmm. and then you're accidentally potentially increasing your risk for recurrent UTIs. But we'll get into the antibiotic dilemma in a little bit because they can be very, very helpful for some, but also problematic for others.
Right. And I would say, honestly, out of all the potential root causes, and there's a couple others we'll talk about, gut infections and bad gut bacteria, I see, are one of the most contributing causes of UTIs. Would you say that for you, Anya, too?
Absolutely. And listen, of course, we are obsessed with the gut for good reason. But I'm telling you, it's crazy how I will have women who come to me and they have, you know, vaginal health issues like UTIs or even yeast infections and BV. And they also have, you know, what they deem IBS, they have recurrent gut issues. And resolving the, like, one also resolves the other. They go hand in hand because of that correlation with the gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's not just your gut microbiome. It's also your vaginal microbiome, and your vaginal microbiome can also change based on your gut microbiome. Key thing is, I know it's disgusting to say, but like, you're pooping, right? And unfortunately, you can wipe and that can go up into the vagina, up into the kidney. Like, that's how these things can happen. So having a healthy gut, a healthy vaginal bacteria, healthy vaginal pH, all those things play a big role with increasing or decreasing your risk of developing a UTI. And then there's anything that potentially could suppress your immune system can unfortunately allow a UTI to develop. And that could be anything from chronic stress, vitamin D, vitamin A deficiency, could be Lyme. It could be heavy metals. It could be mold. Anything that would be a chronic toxicity, even breast implants, could be a potential root cause of immunosuppression causing UTI development.
Yeah, it's very interesting, the connection between Lyme, mold, toxicities like that, and UTIs or other sort of vaginal health issues, again, because of that immune suppression, and also because of the fact that these different pathogens can travel.
Oh, it's so gross.
I know.
But we're talking about strategies, guys, so don't freak out. We'll go over them. Now, let's talk about testing, because there are some non-conventional and there are some conventional testing methods.
Yeah, so, you know, if you go to your doctor, you're concerned that you have a UTI, the most common first approach is going to be a urine culture. But urine cultures, I'm so sorry, I hate to break it to you, they lead to so many false negatives. It's really a shame that this is just like the gold standard first test, because, you know, urine cultures, the testing mechanism or method, I believe, was developed decades ago. I think it was the 1950s. And it really is focused mostly on detecting just for E. coli. And it doesn't really keep in mind that, you know, certain pathogens can't really grow in the urine. And also there's other reasons why so different sort of pathogens might not be detected. One big reason is the development of biofilm with bacteria, which basically means that, you know, as you have these sort of recurrent or untreated infections, the bacteria can adhere to surfaces around the bladder region, and they form this sort of matrix, this like protective shell, that makes them harder to detect and also harder to treat.
Yep. Unfortunately, bacteria are smarter than we are. They become what I call biofilm lovers. And it's really hard, unless you're breaking through that biofilm and that matrix, to get rid of them or sometimes even see them.
Yeah. So, you know, some good doctors, especially like some really great urologists now, are doing PCR testing, which is more accurate. And a lot of the PCR testing that they're doing, they're able to look at more potential pathogens outside of just E. coli. But even still, with the biofilm, it could still lead to a negative PCR test. You know, another really good sort of direct consumer test that I like a lot now is EBI. It's a vaginal microbiome test, but, you know, it can pinpoint other sort of causes of UTIs that maybe are being missed with the standard urine culture, or even some of the PCR testing that's being done. So I would recommend checking that out as well if you keep on getting negative tests.
Yeah, the Evi just in general is so freaking cool. If you look on their website and all that they test, they're looking at the beneficial bacteria, the pathogenic organisms, potentially STDs. It's such a good test for the price. I think it's like $135, which is phenomenal. I think it's great, but definitely something you could do. Now, there are things like test strips. So there's the Azo test strips. And then, of course, there's all the different like cheaper versions. Those definitely have false negatives, something to keep in mind. But if you have a really bad infection, sometimes it can catch it. But that would be something that you might could utilize if you're feeling bad prior to going to the doctor.
Yeah, they're not my favorite, but they're, you know, if you have all the symptoms of a UTI and you're like in the process of getting that appointment or you're waiting on the test results and you just want a sort of just a quick confirmation, that could be a good first step. But just keep in mind that if it's negative, I want to just like stop there and say that you're good.
Yeah, no. No, because it definitely has a lot of false negatives. Okay, so we talked about symptoms. We talked about causes. Let's talk about treatment. So we've got basically two different routes of treatment approach. So we have conventional antibiotics, or we have the alternative of like probiotics and herbals. So let's talk about what cases might need antibiotics versus the alternative approaches.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you have a serious infection that is potentially spreading, antibiotics are probably merited. Also, this is your very first UTI ever. You haven't really ever taken antibiotics for it. Then maybe also antibiotics could be okay to use. You know, keep in mind that, again, with these antibiotics, they have systemic effects. So they can wipe out that bad bacteria, but of course they could also wipe out the good bacteria. And we need that good bacteria to help prevent recurrent or other infections from other pathogens, and also maintain that healthy pH. So antibiotics, time and a place. But you have to keep in mind that if you are doing antibiotics, you probably need to be on an antibiotic supportive protocol. That might involve taking certain probiotics with the antibiotic. For example, Saccharomyces boulardii is a great probiotic to take alongside antibiotics. Afterwards, maybe replenishing with a more comprehensive probiotic, such as a spore-based one, and or including some other vaginal health-specific probiotics that contain different lactobacillus strains. And, you know, doing some other general gut healing, adding in some specific prebiotic fiber, adding in some mucosal lining support, et cetera.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the key thing is, like, I don't want anybody to ever feel shamed for needing to take an antibiotic. I know that that's happening nowadays. If you're vomiting and you have blood in your urine and you have extreme pain and you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to die, please take the antibiotic. Don't go the antimicrobial route, because the antibiotic is going to kick it away and prevent a kidney infection so much quicker. But if you just have like a little tiny little bit of pain or no pain, a little bit of cloudy urine, you might be able to get away with the alternative approach.
Yeah. There's really no shame in antibiotics. We are not anti-antibiotic. It just should be an informed decision and you should support yourself along that way. Listen, like, we are alive to this day and we're able to live past the age of 30 or 35 because of the development of antibiotics. They, you know, can be a lifesaver for some. So you don't have to completely shun them out. And definitely if you are having like more serious symptoms, it's a smart move to do.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the antimicrobial or the alternative methods that we both love, because I know you and I both love doing this approach. So my favorites would be D-mannose, cranberry, uva ursi, garlic. How about you?
Yeah, 100% agree. And let me also just add that with the alternative approach, you want to start this at the very, very, very early phase. The sooner the better. Like, as soon as you feel that slight twinge or notice that slight change, just start it right away. You know, my favorite of all of these sort of like, you know, herbal or supplement remedies is the, is a product called Allura, E-L-L-U-R-A. It contains PAC, which is the active component of cranberry. It has great clinical research behind it. A lot of top urologists are huge fans of it. I personally have taken this and still take it to this day to help prevent recurrent UTIs and have found it to be a really big game changer. D-mannose, there's a lot of different protocols and a lot of different brands for it. I like to do more of a hammer dose, and I'll say maybe like 500 milligrams every 3 to 4 hours for about 3 to 4 days. In terms of herbs, the Uber Ursi is really great. Garlic, especially allicin. I know I always get asked about this. Some women swear by putting whole garlic inside the vagina to help with infections. I know this is a folk remedy, and if it works for you, that's great, but I also know that it can cause a lot of discomfort. So when we're talking about garlic, we're talking more internally, garlic bulb extract as a supplement. And then one other thing that I'd add to is, again, we mentioned that biofilm, right? And how that bacteria can make this sort of protective shell that makes it harder to get to them. So right as soon as I think that I or a client might have some sort of UTI, I do like to throw something at the biofilm to help break that up and disrupt it. One product that I really love is Lauricidin. It's monolaurin. And they're, it's little white pellets. They're kind of annoying to take. You just kind of scoop it into your mouth. It feels like you're just swallowing soap, but this can be, it's very uncomfortable, but it's actually very gentle, very safe supplement that you could take alongside all of these herbs to help make the treatment more effective.
Yeah, that's a great product. I also like the Interphase Plus by Claire Labs. That's a great overall biofilm product that you could do, or you could use a little bit of Biocidin. Not as good as the top two, but those are good. So you guys, I'm going to give just a little bit of dosage recommendations that I recommend. If I recommend D-mannose, it's at least a gram twice a day, up to a gram three times a day. For cranberry, it's typically a gram twice a day. Of course, if you're using the PAC, you technically need a little bit less, but that would be what that's what I would recommend. Uva Ursi typically is about 300 to 500 milligrams three times a day. Allicin's about 200 to 300 milligrams at least three times a day, up to 600 milligrams three times a day. So those would be the dosage recommendations. And then key thing when you are also treating is you really want to support the probiotics within your vaginal flora, but also the probiotics within your gut bacteria too. So there are specific strains, especially those lactobacillus strains, that are very helpful for supporting the beneficial bacteria and increasing lactic acid, which helps to lower the vaginal pH to ward off other pathogens. So I personally love, if we're talking about like internally into the vagina, there's one by Love Wellness that's a vaginal probiotic that I love. And then there's also the of course, there's 5 billion other brands nowadays that have good lactobacillus strains with lactobacillus rudatori, lactobacillus rhamnosus. Those are the key things for vaginal flora. But I absolutely love Femdilophilus as like kind of like a two ingredient type of probiotic. Or there's a lot of good women's probiotics. Like there's the Renew Life Ultra for women's, or there's the Garden of Life for women's that have about like a 50 billion high dose probiotic strains with those specific ones in there too, that can support the gut microbiome and the vaginal microbiome.
Femdophilus is my go-to, and it can be used orally, but also can be used as a suppository as well. So, you know, some people with lactobacillus strains, if you're having a lot of gut issues, especially if you have other bacterial overgrowth in the gut, taking a high dose of lactobacillus can actually exacerbate some of your gut issues. There's a whole slew of reasons why. It's a different rabbit hole. We'll save that for a different
SIBO. SIBO, that's why.
Yeah, long story short. But if you are one of those people, then you might want to just instead do it as a suppository. And what you could also consider doing is you can consider using multiple suppositories. So for some people, what I'd recommend is during the day, you could use an antimicrobial suppository. So Biocidin capsules can be inserted. And then at night, you could do a probiotic suppository like the Femdophilus, like the Love Wellness brand. I also really like the brand Good Clean Love and for so many things, but they make a really nice vaginal probiotic suppository as well that you could do at night. And just, you know, wear a thin panty liner. There's a little bit of discharge, but I really like suppositories. They're a little scary, I think, at first, if you're not used to putting anything up there, but they can be really, really nice and soothing as well.
Yeah, those are freaking fantastic. If any woman has a lot of like vaginal dryness or pain, they could be super helpful for lubrication too. And then one other formula I wanted to make sure I recommend is by Eucora. They have a great promote, and that's fantastic as a probiotic, but they also have like D-mannose types of like a drink mix that I love that also has vitamin C in there. So that's just another brand that I absolutely love and recommend for treatment or even prevention for UTIs, which is what we were going to talk about next.
Yeah. And before we go into prevention, because that is actually my favorite topic, I just want to say that alongside this with treatment is you do need to make sure that during that treatment, you are drinking a lot of water to flush out the urinary tract, which is hard when you're already like maybe having that increased urgency and frequency of peeing. Like you're like, I don't want to drink more water. I'm already peeing every 10 minutes. I can't sleep. You need to, because that is how you flush things out. I also know that, you know, there's like the whole idea, like, should you be drinking cranberry juice versus supplementing? I still really like the Allura, the PAC, but if you are doing the cranberry juice and you notice that it's worsening your symptoms, that could be because it is a little bit of a bladder irritant. So keep in mind that if you're like downing a lot of cranberry juice and you're like, whenever I drink cranberry juice, it makes my bladder kind of like hurt and spasm a little bit. That could be why. But definitely drink a lot of water. Blueberry juice also is another thing that can be helpful. Also chamomile and peppermint tea are really nice. And another tea that I really love is doing, anything that has mucilages. So for example, throat coat tea is really great. It has mastigum, marshmallow root, all of which can help soothe that urinary tract as well.
I love those suggestions. Absolutely great. Got to hydrate as best as possible. I know, drink all the water, pee all the time, but it is so worth it. So yeah. Prevention wise, I, Anya, already recommended this and I love it. Like making sure that you're not using any like of fragrances or douching or anything like that near your vagina. That's definitely key. Safe sex, peeing after sex, using lubes that are not going to have a lot of fragrances or, you know, synthetics in there. Those can be fantastic. You can use coconut oil as a lube. So that would also be antimicrobial to prevent any types of infections. But definitely key things, hygiene, huge. Don't wear your leggings for hours after the gym. Like I said earlier, don't wear your bathing suit for hours after going to the pool. And then really having safe, protected sex and peeing after sex is extremely important.
Yeah. And something, a common myth is that you should pee before and after sex. But the thing is that the peeing after sex, you actually want to have like a good strong stream of urine that really helps flush everything out. So if you pee before and then you force yourself to pee after, you're probably going to have a weak pee, a small stream. So ideally, you know, don't, if you have to pee before sex, like don't hold it, go pee, but don't force yourself to pee before sex. Prioritize that after sex pee. very nitty gritty, but I swear by this.
I'm going to laugh because I can just see somebody like listening to this and then being like, you know what, like I have to pee just a little bit. And like thinking in their mind, Anya and Lacey said to hold it just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And it, listen, if you pee right before sex, then just chug some water so that afterwards you can have a good strong pee again.
Literally die.
And yeah, coconut oil. This was actually recommended to me by a urologist, which I was pretty shocked by. But then I did my own research after and I was like, wait, this is amazing. It's actually really good lube. It does have antimicrobial properties. Just got some good organic extra virgin coconut oil. You can warm it up a little bit of your hand. Great. Another thing, of course, is, you know, again, you want to address any sort of gut infections or any other toxicities that are increasing your risk for that recurrent UTI. So that's why a lot of people, they get, you know, they treat the UTI, they get better, but they're not treating any other pathogens in the body, and then that leads to a recurrence or, you know, a reinfection as well. So if you're getting a UTI, if you have a UTI, maybe it's worth it to just do a GI map right away if you have that in your budget. because you don't want to get into this recurrent UTI cycle, because the more UTIs you get, the harder it is to treat. And then you get kind of, you know, into this like recurrent UTI cycle. There are also now new medications on the market that can help prevent recurrent UTIs. One of them is called methamphetamine, or the brand name is Hyprex, and it's classified as an antibiotic, but it actually really, the way that it works is it acidifies the urine to help prevent pathogens like E. coli from binding. So it's not necessarily antibiotic, and in terms of side effects, there really are none that we know of so far. But again, it's relatively new. But if you are in a recurrent UTI trap, that could be something that you might want to talk to your doctor about, just to help get you completely UTI free for a few months, and then come off of as well.
Yes, I absolutely love that. And I never heard of that. So thank you so much for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I took it for a while personally, when I was in a recurrent UTI loop, and I was very hesitant about it again because it's so new, but absolutely zero side effects. You could stop it whenever. So it could be a good option. But again, talk to your doctor about that if you're that sort of candidate.
Yeah, for sure. And then lastly, like what I want to bring up is like some, like we talked about biofilm, we talked about the matrix. Some species of the bacteria that cause UTIs can be very, very resistant. So some people are antibiotic resistant, some people are herbal resistant. So just make sure that you don't let a continuous infection happen. If you're still struggling and you've tried the herbal approach, that's not working, don't hesitate to try an antibiotic. If you tried the antibiotic, that's not working, don't just say, okay, hey, like I'm stuck here. Continue to find ways to treat.
Yeah, the longer, with all these problems, right, the longer that they fester, the more likely they are to cause other issues, and or just, you know, your body almost will learn to expect some of these problems. And some of your symptoms, they're especially the pain aspect, can become a little psychosomatic, right? That's why a lot of people, there's a huge overlap between UTIs and IC or interstitial cystitis. Especially with the issues with testing and the fact that there are many false negatives, a lot of people end up with a misdiagnosis of IC, which, you know, is also kind of actually a diagnosis of exclusion, but they end up, you know, classifying themselves as IC when really it could have been a UTI all along that maybe just wasn't a traditional easy to treat UTI that just kind of festered and led, or got your body into the state of recurrent pain. So definitely continue digging, explore your gut, invest in some of these more comprehensive testing like an EPI, and really make sure that even after you're treated, I still like to have someone continue something like D-mannos or the PAC or cranberry for like at least for like a month of being completely symptom free, just to help make sure that you are maintaining that progress that you made.
Yeah. And it could be such prevention. Like if you know that you're prone to UTIs, if you're taking cranberry and D-mannos, there are no negative side effects I've seen to taking those products. So it's definitely something you can recommend. You can continue to help prevent UTIs.
Yeah, like the Allura, I recommend everyone who's had UTIs just to keep those on hand and just pop two capsules of those after sex. There's nothing wrong with that, and it'll just help prevent a recurrent infection.
Awesome. Well, this was a freaking fantastic quick podcast. I hope people were able to get some good knowledge out of this and some good practical takeaways. Anya, do you have any other tips, suggestions, or anything else you want to talk about?
Not really. I just want to say that if you struggle with UTIs, you are so not alone. I think that like nearly every woman, I think it's like 90% of women experience a UTI at some point in their life cycle. But I will say personally, 100% of women I know have experienced them. So talk to other people about it, reach out for help, and, you know, don't just settle for being uncomfortable.
I completely agree. And I would just like to reiterate that most women that come to me with chronic UTIs, most of the time, it's a gut infection. So just be mm-hmm. willing to do the due diligence of getting some answers.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Please share this podcast around and then message Anya and I and let us know what other podcast episodes that you want us to put out next.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
Awesome. Bye, guys.